Up to Perichov Beis, Pasik Yud Zayin, Eliphaz is speaking, he is giving Eoiv some very strong Musar, and he is now describing the generation of the Dor Hamabul and the Dor of the Anshei Stom, and he is warning Eoiv, don't follow in their ways. The people of the Dor HaMabul, the Dor Anshei Stom, were koifrim. They denied the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashkiach, they denied Hashkocha Pratis. And he was telling Eov that it appears from your behavior that you also are following in their ways. So he let's just go back. I'm not going to do it in the Mefarshim. Let's read the Pesuk in Pasuk Tezvav. Go back to Pasuk Tezvav. Ha'orach oilam tishmar. Eov, from your behavior, it appears that you're trying to follow in the way. The Orach means the way of the Olam, means the ancients. The ways of, according to the Mefarshim, learn is the Dor HaMabel. Asher Dorchu Misei Oven, which people are referring to, who have the way of the world that has been tread. The people, the same means people who are sinners. Asher kumtu v'loy eis, these people, they withered prematurely because they were such great sinners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused their skin to wrinkle, meaning to die. This is an expression of death. V'loy eis, their time came to an end prematurely. Nahar yutzak yisodam, the river of fire. Gofres Va'esh was poured down upon their foundation, upon their world. Their world came to an end. Okay, now we go to Pasuk. This is where we're up to Pasuk Yud Zayin. And what did these evil people say? The evil people, the Dor HaMabul, they would say, Lokel, according to the Mitzudos, this means they would say concerning Hashem. It does not mean they said to Hashem, but it says they said about Hashem, Sur Mimenu. Hashem has departed. Hashem, it may be true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but after creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu distanced himself. He departed from us. Umayafil Shakai Lomo. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us? Why do we need you, Hashem? Why should we worship? Should we serve you? What Yifal means to do, Shakai means Hashem Lomo, for them. What has God done for man since he created the world? Nothing. We don't need you, and therefore we have no need to worship and to serve and to daven to you, because we will not get anything in return. This was their wicked attitude, their mistaken belief and their wicked attitude. Let's see Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Mitzudos. It says here, Ha'imrim asha armu al hakel. These people said concerning Hashem, Hinehu sur mimenu, Hashem has departed. Umau hadavar asher yifal shakai lohem. And what has Hashem done on their behalf? What benefit have we derived from you, Hashem? Halo sor hashkochoso, you have your involvement has departed. Umosar hakol biyad, and you've delivered everything biyad. Mareches hashmam, you've delivered everything in the hands of the mareches, in the hands of the Mareches Hashemayim. Here means the mazolos, and if we have no need to worship you. Okay, this is, let's take a look at Rashi pasuk tes pasuk. No, there is no Rashi. There is no Rashi. Pasuk yudches. For who milena here at Sofar says that their behavior was foolish, but worse than foolish, they were kafui toiva. This is a very powerful concept which everyone talks about, is the inyan of kafui toiva. Who here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He was so good to them. Mile vatehem toiv, Hashem filled up their homes with good. Vatsas v'shoim rochaka v'hu mile vatehem tov, vatsas v'shoim rochaka many, and the counsel of the evil he distanced from me. Now let's take a look at the Mitzudos, so he explained this. Fu milei v'af kiyamok baruch hu milei botem mitoif, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so good to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled up their homes with good, ma ha yelohem lakachesh v'ashkochasai, and therefore why would they be so foolish to deny Hashem's ashkocha? U'v'emes, the truth is, atzas harashoim hohem rochaku mimeni. Now what does that mean? What's the second after this pasuk? It doesn't seem to flow well into the context. Ratz Olaymar, he explains it. Lo'ucha lo'hovin ma'ro l'shtus zeh. Eliphaz says, I don't understand what this foolishness this halal lo hayu chaserim klum, v'lam zeh kochashu b'hashkochas, so this behavior was foolish. Why would they come to deny Hashem's hashkocha when they had nothing to gain from it? So when it's said, therefore, according to the mitzvah, when the pasuk concludes over here by saying that sas rishon rechaka many means Eliphaz is speaking, and he's saying that their behavior is illogical. A person if would rebel if he has something to gain from rebelling. If he's suffering, he is. If a person feels that by rebelling he will free himself from this the yoke of bondage or doesn't have to pay taxes or whatever the situation is, there's at least something to gain. But here they had nothing to gain by rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Eliphaz says, Vatsas Rishaim, this idea, this plan of rebellion, Rochaka Meni, is distant from my understanding, it's distant from me, Eliphaz, because it doesn't make sense why they would want to rebel. Pasuk Yutas, here it's Tzadikim V'Yismachu, it's a very interesting Pasuk. Now Eliphaz says that the righteous people of the generation, they saw what was happening, V'Yismachu, and they rejoiced. Now what does it mean when they rejoice? It means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to punish these people and to destroy them by sending down the Mabul and the Dar of Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned over the city with Gufres from Melach, Shreif, Chol Arza. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to these people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzadikim Noach and his children, Shem, Chom, and Yafes, who according to the Mitzvah says were Tzadikim, and other Tzadikim, namely Misu Shelach, and I guess during the generation, Rash doesn't say this, Mitzvah does not say this, but I guess we could assume that during the generation of the Anshei Stum, that's also part of this discussion, the generation of Stum refers, I guess, to Avraham, rejoiced. That's also similar. Avram rejoiced because Avram was misspelled to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Av tispet tzadikim rasha, but it does say over here yiru tzadikim. The tzadikim of these generations saw Kadosh Baruch Hu punished the wicked. The yismoch and they rejoiced. The naki people of this generation were innocent. Tzadikim yilag lomo, they mocked the wicked at the time of their destruction. Let's look at the mitzvahs pasuk yutes yiru tzadikim. Who are the tzadikim of this pasuk? Noach. Ubanov, Noach and his children, Hatzadikim, Robim Apolosam, they saw the defeat of the Rishayim, the Samchu Alashem Molu Achri Hashem. So here the Mitzvah is very careful. Does not mean that the Tzadik rejoiced over the downfall. Very interesting. That's how I translated before. That was a mistake. It means they rejoiced that they did not fall in this trap. They were happy for themselves. They were not happy over the destruction of the wicked. That's what it says. V'samchu al asher molu achrei Hashem, that they, Noach and his children, did not follow in this evil way. V'lo nimshu achrei datam, and therefore they were spared. V'noki kol echad mehem, every innocent person, yilag aleihem, laughed at them, b'avor sikul daitam, they laughed at their foolish approach to life, the foolish opinion of abandoning a Kadosh Baruch Hu and rebelling against him. Okay, let's pasuk chaf. Year a pasuk chaf im loin im. Now this is a hard pasuk, and there's two different ways to translate this according to the Mitzvahs and Rashi. Im lo means the emes. It means the truth is. Okay, this is an expression that you have in the Gemara. You have in Chazal. And occasionally you have in the Torah as well. And here it's what it means, imlo. The truth is, nichad kimanu. Kimanu in this context is a very difficult word. First of all, like the Mitzudos, kimanu means the one who has established us. Where do all of us come from? We're all descendants of Noach. Because everyone else in the world was destroyed at the time of the Mabul. So even though there were who knows, we have really no idea of how many people were living at that point in time. All of us have come from Noach. So Noach is the one who we call in this pasuk, at least according to the opinion of the Mitzudos, the Kimanu. The one who has established us. Like come means to stand up. In this context, in this form, it means the one from whom we come. The one who brought us into, who put us on, who stood us up. The one who put us on the face of the earth, Noach. Nichad means he was denied, or he was removed. Noach was not part of this wicked group who existed on the earth at the time of the Mabul. Imlo, the truth is, Nechad, he was not part, Kimanu, Noach, the one who established us, was not part of this ugly, evil group. The Yisram, but everyone else that was not part of this group, the entire generation, Ochla Esh, was eaten up by fire, meaning the Mabul. The Mabul and the people of Sodom, in that generation, they were destroyed by fire. Very difficult translation, a very forced translation, and that's how the Mitzvah, the Silva Seiluk and Sarich Pasachav, the Imlo, the two words together, Imlo means Be'emes. Now, if you look at the Mitzudos Tzion, he really elaborates why the word Imlo means Be'emes. Okay, this is common, but over here you have very rare where he actually explains the idea. Imlo, Be'emes. How does these two words together mean the truth is? V'chu, ki'inyin shavua. Because these two words together have a kind of mean an oath. What's the oath? Ucha'omer. What it means to say is, Im lo hoya kein, when a person means to say is, I'm telling you that what I'm saying is true, and I swear that what I'm saying is true, and I want to back up, I want to impress upon you my conviction that what I'm saying is true to the degree, if it's not true, im lo, if it's not true, then I should suffer A, B, and C. Im lo hoya kein, if it's not so, Yovoy alai kozos v'chozos, this should happen and that should happen, all of these terrible things, v'gozam, and the person exaggerates, v'loyomar, but he doesn't actually say these words. He doesn't actually say exactly what's going to happen. So it's a takeoff, it's an expression. Im lo, it means this is the truth. What you really mean to say is, I swear to you this is true, and if it's discovered that it's not true, I accept upon myself terrible forms of punishment. So that's where this comes from. He gives examples. V'chein im lo shavisi v'damamti. Different examples where we find v'damamti. That's different examples in Tehillim where we find that's how it's been used in that context. Okay, im lo, I swear back to the Mesudos David, pasichof, im lo, the MS, the truth is, Ho'ish asher kiyem behemen oisanu, the person who has established us. Who is this person? The person that we're calling over here, the kimanu, v'hu Noach. Why? Shemimenu hush sas ha'olam, the whole earth has been established. Halohu hoya nimna, he, this person was nimna, was not part of this evil group. V'nechtal, and he distanced himself, milios avud, to be destroyed in b'nei doro, with his generation. V'hanoisodim yanshe hadas hazara, period. Noach was not part of this evil group of people. However, the Hanoisarim, the other people who were part of the evil group, Me'anshe Hadas Hazara Hahi, that were part of this group of evil people, Haloi Sarfa Ha'esh, the fire consumed them. Who are these evil people? The Hema Anshe Sodom, the Chavrei Secha. Now, what is the meaning of this pasuk in the big picture? Ucha Oimer. And what over here Eliphaz is saying to Eov is, Ve'eich tachzik bedas hazor hahi. Eov, you're a fool. What are you doing? You're going back to the very beginning of the Sefer. Eliphaz was the first one to address, to attack Eov for denying Hashkocha Pratis. That's a very major theme of this Sefer. Eov believes there is a creator, but the creator has decided to distance himself from this world. More so, in this parak, Eliphaz explained that the reason why you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this is because Hashem is too far away. There is no, the internet connection doesn't work. We don't have, there's no reception. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zillions and trillions, I don't even know all these the fancy words to describe how many miles or light years away from Hashem, is too far away from this world. There's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can pick up what's happening on this world. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in the activities of this world, and that's why you speak the way you do. Here he's coming to tell Eov, do you know who also said this? You're not original. You're a plagiarist. this idea already has been expressed by the Anshei Sidom and the Anshei Dor HaMabul. They also came to deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were fools because they had no reason to do so. You at least have a reason to say, because you're in pain, you're in suffering, you've lost your 10 children and you lost your wealth and you suffer, and your wife is not too happy with you either. You're not doing so, therefore we can understand at least you have an excuse. But they had no excuse. They had every good thing that you could possibly conceive, and they denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha Pratis. And what happened to them? What was the end? They were obliterated. They were obliterated from the face of the earth. Therefore, Eve, watch out. You're going down a very dangerous path. That's what he says over here, and therefore that's what he means over here in the conclusion of this passing in the Mitzudos. The Eich Tachzik Bedas Hazara Hahi. Why are you taking all of this foolish approach? Haloi Migmul Anshe Hadas Hahi. From what happened, the result of what happened to people that follow in this belief, nearer we see HaHashkoch, we see Hashem is involved in the daily affairs of this world. Ki Kulam Nevdu. They were all destroyed. But Noach, the one that was an Ish Tzadik, Tam Hoya B'Doy Roysov, Levad Nitzol, V'chol HaNosadim Yanshe Adas, Ahi Kolum Noelam, all the people that were left over, that participated in this foolish approach, were destroyed. Now Rashi does not learn the Pasuk like this at all. Rashi has an entirely different interpretation. Rashi says simply, Kimanu means... Rashi is very bad. Rashi says the word kimono is a very difficult word. And Rashi is basically going to say it means take out the nun, make believe the nun doesn't exist. Kimo. Imlo nichad kimo. Kimo means their stand. And it basically means that is it not true that these wicked people were destroyed? The Yisram and everyone and their wealth, I think Yisram over here means their wealth, Ochlo Eish was destroyed by fire. Now Rashi is a little bit medish, so let's read the words of Rashi inside, we'll see. Imlo nichad kimo, hish hatishmar v'reisa, imlo nichad yikumam, are you going to, will you not guard and take note that their yikumam was destroyed? Now, nichad here, according to Rashi, means, nichad means to be denied. Denied doesn't mean, it means to be wiped off the face of the earth. Yikumam. What's yikumam mean? It means their existence. Their existence. Let's see the next word. Now, problem is the word kimanu is not the proper word for existence. A better word would be kimo. Kimo, which can be borrowed to mean existence. So that's why in the Mitzudos, kimo, kiyumo, their existence. The nun is problematic. So that's why Rashi is coming to apologize. Kimo koimoso, the height, shel osahada, which means the existence, the existence of that generation. The stature of that generation. Now he's just trying to explain, right? You have to read between the lines. I acknowledge that the nun doesn't belong there, but I have a precedent in Pasuk in Hosea. Kimo Beiskel Yimtso Enu. Vesham in Beiskel you will find him. Vesham Yedaber Imanu, and there he will speak with us. So what's there? There's a nun there as well, but there in that pasuk, everyone interprets it being kumo imo, which means Beiskel Yimtzeenu. Vesham Yedaber Imo, with him. I'm not, so that's the second word, not the first. Yimtzeenu, you'll find him. Vesham Yedaber Imono. What do you mean Imono? It means there, Vesham Yidaber Imo, with him, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm not mistaken, it means with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imo. So why there is there a nun? The answer is, that's a style of writing. Sometimes we pair the word with nun when it means, and it means as if it says Imo. So here, according to Rashi, it means the same thing. It means their stature, in the English translation, I'm sure their substance. Okay, but it means their existence. And basically, according to Rashi, means Imlo, I promise you, I swear to you, Eov, that these wicked people of the Dor HaMabul and the Dor Anshei Sdom, Imlo, is it not true? Nichad, kimanu, that their stature, their existence was denied. What do you mean denied? It means destroyed. They were completely obliterated off the face of the earth. Okay, v'yisram. Now what is the next word mean, v'yisram? It's a repetition of the same theme. Ga'usam, their arrogance. Their gavasam, their arrogance, achla esh, was destroyed by bereischim in boiling hot water. That's, now before we get to the medrash in a moment, but that is the simple interpretation. Let's just step back. Let's review. We have two very different interpretations of this pasuk. According to the Mitzudos, the pasuk is talking about two groups: Noach and his and all of the people, the tzaddikim of the generation, which include his children and Mesushelach. Seemingly, when you're dealing with Avraham, the dark, when you're dealing with the generation of Sodom, similarly refers to Avraham. Who else was a tzaddik in that generation? Okay, anyone that wanted to follow Avraham, Anevesh Asherosu B'Charan. Seemingly, Avraham had a collection of people with him, Eliezer. We don't really know what happened to those people, Asherosu B'Charan. But those tzaddikim, they are the first half of the pasuk. They are Nichad, means they did not participate in the evil beliefs of that generation. So Kimanu means the people whom we come from. We come from, they have established us, Avraham, Noach, we come from them, and they were not part, they were Nichad, they separated themselves from the evil people. The Yisram, anyone that did not want to follow in the ways of the Tzaddikim, did not follow in the way of Noach and his sons, and of Mesushelach, and Avraham, they were finished, Ochlo Esh, were eaten by fire. Rashi, nothing to do with any generation. We're not discussing two groups. We're discussing one group. We're discussing the wicked. And we're describing that what is the result of a wicked, what is the end of a wicked person, a person that denies Hashgacha Pratis? Imlo, is it not so? Nichat. Nichat here is in the borrowed sense, means is destroyed. Kimanu. Kimanu means their existence, their substance. The Yisram and their arrogance is Ochla Esh, is eaten by fire. Okay, that is the simple two interpretations. Now we have a beautiful Medrash. Okay, this is something you probably read in the Medrash says. What does it say in the Medrash? Thank you very much. Oh, so the piece is missing. Dr. Friedman, the piece that probably fell in the box.
Oh, okay.
It's good. No, it's good. I like it. It's good. It's a little less strain. So it says over here. Let's back to the Bereischim Nidon. They were judged in boiling hot. Thank you very much. Rabbeinu Tanchuma Dorash. He darshes the following pasuk as follows. Balei koyma shahoyu balei koyma v'loy mesu bid tohoymos. Thank you very much. The people of Dor HaMabul were very tall. They were all on the and the basketball league, what's the NBA? They're all members of the NBA. Very, very tall. Balei koyma v'loy mesu b'tohaymos. And when the waters, and it was a flood, they didn't drown. Because in order to drown, you got to be 5 feet. If you're 5'6", you know, when the water gets to a certain point, that's it, you're gone. But if you're 8 feet tall, you know, that's it. You can stand above the water. You're not going to drown. Shehoyu balei koyma v'loy mesu b'tohaymos. How then did they drown? Ubo aleihem reischim milamala. Boiling hot water was poured on their heads. They died from the heat. V'zeh yisram, that's what means yisram. Yisram means their additional height. I have no idea what this means, how tall they were. I mean, we assume the marble says was 40. How many amas was it? The pasuk says all the amas, it was enormous. So what, they were so tall, like Oymel Chabashan, they're able to stand above the water. I don't know what it means exactly, but v'zeh yisram, kimo yisera shalohem, kach shamati, thank you very much. Their additional heat, their additional height is what? Kima Yisrael Shalohem is Yisram, being that they were above the water, that additional height above the water was destroyed by fire. Hashem poured down upon their head boiling hot water, and that's what brought about their death.
The name was the heat.
There is still a team. There is a team, yeah?
Miami Heat.
The Miami Heat?
Miami Heat.
It's in the news, right? I saw some of the sticks in my mind. Right? Yep. All right. Okay, so okay, now you go to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Haske no imo. Okay, now Eliphaz is giving Eoiv some advice. Haske no imo. Be wise. Haske means Haskin normally means to be wise. But over here, the way the Mesudas translates it, and as well as Rashi, they translate of Hergel. Okay, Hergel means accustom yourself, become familiar. Become familiar with Hashem's ways. The only way a person can become familiar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways is to study Torah. And actually, we're going to have that. It's a very beautiful parak, very good for Shavuos. He's going to actually mention over here, giving you Musar, that you should learn Torah. How can he say that? It's before Matan Torah. Seemingly, there was no Torah yet. So you want to say it was a Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach, maybe. Or you want to say that even though the Torah was not yet given, they were aware of what the Torah would say? Possibly. But if you want to say it's more Midrashic, it's not that the Torah just literally means instruction. You know, just study Hashkafa, okay? Study ways from the tzaddikim that existed in the world, from Shem, the Aver, and Mr. Shelach, people that were in existence, fine. But here it means, Haskin means become wise. But becoming wise means, at least in the Mitzudos, accustom yourself. Limud means rogil, become accustomed to his not. I advise you, please, Imo. Imo here means with Hashem, Ushlom, and become complete. Become accustomed to Hashem's ways and implement these ways and act upon it. Be true to what you are, to your knowledge. Don't live a life of duplicity. Know one thing and behave another way. Ushlom, find peace. Your actions should conform with what you are aware of. Bohem, and if you will do so in reward for studying the ways of Hashem and living a life based upon what you know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through them, Tivo Oscha Tova, good will come to you. This is the Musar of Eliphaz to Eiyof. Let's see the Pasuk of the Mitzudos. Hasken Askena, become wise. Lezos me'ata, therefore, for this, from now on, hargil atzmecha im Hashem. So it's very clear the word imo, according to the Mitzudos, means Hashem. He's adding that into the pasuk. Doesn't say that explicitly. Imo means Hashem. Hasken means hargil. Hargil, become accustomed. Become accustomed means to become wise. Lahamin behashkechosai, to believe in Hashem's providence. Utehe imo bishalom, and be with Hashem in peace. The lo tisraim o lumulo, do not complain. I told you another interpretation. Maybe I don't know where I saw it. Maybe Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab means be at peace. Your lie, don't live a life of duplicity. Being at peace means that your action should conform to what you know. The Rav Mitzvah says it's much simpler. Don't complain so much. Just keep your mouth shut. Bohem, bavur hadvar mo'ela, and through these words, tovoy olecha tova, if you will listen, and you will listen to what I have to say, and you will, you will follow my advice. According to the Mitzvah, Bohem means my advice. And study Hashem's ways, and don't complain, then tivo oscha tova, tova lecha tova, good will come upon you. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi a little bit different. Haskein, Lamod lihios imo sholem. Teach yourself to be with peace with him. It's not two separate things. According to the Mitzudos, according to Rav Schwab, it's two separate statements. Number one, learn Hashem's ways. Number two, be at peace. Don't complain. Or your action should conform to what you know. No, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi's of the opinion, it's one sentence. Hasken no imo ushlam. Learn peace. Learn. Go to school and study what it means. Study how to find peace. Lemod liyos imo sholem. Ushlam utehe sholem. Okay, he's explaining. Even though Rashi first said it's one expression, he's explaining the exact translation of sholem. Ushlam. Tehe sholem v'lo tachser bohem bedvarim ho'ele. Ushlam bohem. Now, there's another difference of opinion between Rashi and the Mitzudos. Rashi says, don't stop after the word ushlam. When I translate the pasuk to Mitzudos, I put a comma. Haskena imo, become accustomed to Hashem's ways. Ushlam, comma, and be at peace. Don't complain or behave yourself. And if you'll bohem, and if you will do so, you'll take my advice, then tivo oscha tova. That's not Rashi learns. Rashi says, put the comma after the word bohem. Hasken no imo, ushalom bohem, become accustomed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and find peace with bohem. What's the bohem? In Rashi, it's a hey shalem v'lo techsar bohem bedvarim ho'eila. Okay, maybe you don't put the comma there. I take that back. Ushlam bohem v'lo techsar bohem bedvarim. Don't find, there's not anything lacking in these words that I've told you. Now, I'm taking it back. Maybe the same thing as the Mitzudos. Well, the trup is not, see, first we have to know the trup in Eov is a different type of trup. It's called the Tamei Emes. There's something called Tamei Emes. Aleph Mem Tov. Emes Aleph stands for Eov, Mem stands for Mishle, and Tov stands for Tehillim. So we're not Ashkenazim, we're not at all, not very familiar with the trup. I don't know, someone once gave me a tape from the Teimonim of the to me I had no appreciation of what was going on, but there is a tradition that there's a different nigun, a different set of rules for these three svarim. You know it, I'm sure you noticed that the trop in Sefer Eov is very funny. You have on many words two trops. Look at the word bohem. This is a kadma azla gerish with a severe. You never ever have that anywhere in a chumash. The combination of a azla gerish with a severe in one word. So obviously the
musical note, but in the snachta is a pause anyway.
Right. So, but there's a double asnacht. You never have a double asnacht. Haskena imo asnachta ushalom. I don't recall anywhere in chumash a double asnachta. Asnachta, never. I can't say I'm a bucky, but I never. So obviously the system. Oh, he learns the two go together. Be complete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi is a little bit vague, right? Rashi is something that's playing both sides. Rashi B'chlal is very. I've seen.
Rashi also means shalem, means to be complete.
But is the word shalem is a small point? Is the word bohem a continuation of shalom, or is bohem an independent statement? From the Mitzudas, it's clear that the word bohem is an independent statement. We have three statements: hasken na imo kama.
Right.
Next one, ushalom. It's a new requirement, a new piece of advice. It's a new chapter. Eov, stop complaining. It's a new sentence. Period. Bohem. If you will listen to what I've told you, then tivo oscha tovo good will come upon you. So the word bohem, according to the Mesudas, has nothing to do, is not a continuation of the sentence ushalom. It's an independent statement. According to Rashi, the Targum, certainly, he says, v'sish t'lein behoin. Clearly, the two words have to go together. Don't put a comma. Rashi, I don't know, Rashi seems to say it doesn't, the hishalem, comma, be complete, v'lesechsar bohem, don't be lacking in them, badvodim ho'elem. What does it mean? In the advice that I'm giving you, or does it mean in to be complete in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Torah, in the knowledge that you will acquire, which we're calling here words, be complete in them. I'm not sure. Rashi is very, very vague. There's a very good translation of Rashi online in Chabad. Just type in the translation of Eov on Google, you'll get a Chabad website where someone has translated. It's a very good translation of every pasuk with every Rashi. And many times in the Rashis, they put a question mark, which means the person who translated the Rashi basically acknowledged, I have no idea what Rashi is saying here. Rashi over here is extremely. And it's obviously acknowledged that there's something either missing, or this was an unedited edition, or there's a lot more that meets the eye in Rashi than we know. There's a very expensive sefer, like $30. Someone put out Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, three Rishonim that don't two of them don't appear in any of the edition of the Gros Gadolos, Kadmon and the Parish. Called Talmidei Rashi on Sefer Eov, and he has some notes. He has notes trying to open up the Rashi, and sometimes the Rabbeinu Tam is the third Rishon. I don't look at it all that much. If you study what they say, sometimes you can maybe figure out what Rashi, what really the deeper meaning of Rashi is coming to say. Okay, Rashi here obviously is very difficult. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. So this is what he is, Tivoascha Tova, Tivo Acha Tova, good will come upon you. What is Rashi saying here? I mean, obviously there's something going on over here. It says in the pasuk, Tivoascha Tova, and Rashi here says, Tivo Acha Tova. He just takes out the suf. Is that Rashi's? There must be something more going on here. I really don't know. Okay, pasuk chaf beis. Kachna mipiv Torah. Okay, this is fascinating. Torah. Torah, in our vocabulary, means chamishichum shetorah. It means Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Midrashim. No, so what does it mean over here? Torah means
they had the fifth volume.
Yeah, Nechnami. It means a Messiah. Torah means instruction. So when exactly did he live? If he lived before the giving of the Torah, that word did not come into use until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu uses the word Torah, but until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't it come into use? So you want to say that Eev lived during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, then in Echanami, was Eev Jewish, was he not Jewish? And who's speaking over here? Eliphaz is speaking. If this is the Eliphaz, the grandson of Esav, what does he know from Torah? Alright, we'll leave with that. But here it says, Kach no mipiv, take now mipiv from Hashem's mouth, Torah, the Sim Amarov, and place his words bil vovecha in your heart. It's a beautiful, it's like a pasuk out of Mishlei. Right? This doesn't seem like it came from Eon. This you would, if you would not know better, and someone give you this pasuk, you would guess this comes out of Mishlei. Has the rhythm and has the flavor of Mishlei. Pasuk of Beis in the Mitzudos. Kachna me'ata, from now kach bilibcha hatoyra. Hanesuna mipiv, take in your heart. The Mitzvah puts the pasuk together. It goes backwards. Put in your heart the Torah that was given from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kederech hamamin v'hashkoch, like the Jews. Go and study Judaism. The Jews who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkocha, where do they derive all of their emunah from the Torah? That's what you should do. Put in your heart. Put in your heart the words of Torah that have come from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi? There is no Rashi. Okay, next.
It could
mean they were ethics. The ethics of the day. Ashkocha. Look, there was a base medish of shame the Aver. There was obviously there were things, tradition that were taught. Yaakov and the others who Makayim called HaTorah Kula before Matan Torah. What does that mean exactly? The Masechta Avodah Zarah of Aaron Ravinu had 400 parakim. So he learned there was something to it. There was some type of Torah in that time as well. Pasuk al Gimel Imtashuv Ad Shakai Tiboneh. He continues Pasuk al Gimel to give Eev Musar. Eev Du Tshuva. If you will only return Ad Shakai to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Tiboneh. This goes back to the thing they told him, many that it's not too late, even though you are a skeleton and that your flesh has completely disintegrated. It's not too late. It's Trias HaMesim. Who knows? You may have a comeback. Maybe
second chance.
If you only do tshuva at Shakai Tibona, you will be rebuilt once again. Tarchik Avla Me Oholecha, distance sin from your tent. Oil means many farms your wife. He here seems to be alluding that you should teach your wife to not to sin. Eve was very critical. The Midrashim of Shrab, they talk that there's only one part. There's only one pasuk in the entire sefer about Eve's wife. Where Eve's wife says to Eve, just curse Hashem, be mevarech Hashem, and you'll die. What does that mean exactly? We don't know. Because a person, we know that a person can sin all he wants, and it doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish a person for his sins. So does it mean that you'll have witnesses, the liabezdin, that you should be mevorech Hashem in the presence of two witnesses, and the two witnesses will warn you that you're not allowed to do this by penalty of death, and you'll listen to the hasra, and you'll do it anyway, and then bezdin will execute you, they'll stone you, they'll give you misa spes. No, there is a way, bezman hazeh, for a person halachically to commit suicide.
Assisted suicide.
There is a halachic assisted suicide. I mean, the person will lose his chelik alam haba for this. But a person will person's not allowed to take your own life, right? The person, I can't take my own, you're not allowed to take your own life. It's the worst avera. But if I'll do it, I'll be mechalel Shabbos, and there'll be two witnesses, and they'll tell me you're not allowed to be mechalel Shabbos. It says in the Torah this pasuk and that pasuk, and I'll listen, and I'll say, I know, but nevertheless, I want to do it, and the person does it, so Bezdin will execute the person. That's pretty much what his wife told him to do. You're suffering, you got to get out of this world, you can't take your own life, be mevorech Hashem, be mevorech similarly with means in front of witnesses, and Bezdin will then halachically take your life. And basically, his wife was telling him, don't worry, in Shemayim they'll go easy on you. Why will they go easy on you in Shemayim? Because you're an honest, because you suffered. The problem with that idea is the same way in Shemayim
will also say
you're not responsible, because right. So what does it mean? Okay, this is obviously a very big mystery. So you want to say that he was on such a high madrega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would instantly punish him for being Mevarech Hashem? That's a stretch. Maybe that's what it means. We don't know what it means. We had some Jewish where we learned, we had the Mahalach what it means. But the point is, his wife obviously was not very happy with the situation. And she was giving him some advice that would not go off well by the Haredim, to say the least. So here he's telling his wife, here he's giving, Eliphaz is giving Musa to Eov. What? I don't want to kill them anyway. So Eliphaz is giving Musar to Eov, and Eov is saying that you are responsible for your wife. Very strange, right? That's a very big chiddush. You are responsible for your wife's evil way. Im toshuv ad shachay tibaneh, tarchik avle me aholecha. Aholecha by the darshan, it means your wife. Tell your wife to stop sinning. You are responsible for your wife's evil ways. This is a very big difference between what people perceive. I'm saying is nonsense, but people are always writing articles to define the difference between modern orthodoxy and right-wing orthodoxy. It's all different examples how people approach secular education, how people... one of the examples they give is the relationship man has with his wife. And people want to suggest that among the Haredim, the husband dominates. Everything that the wife does is only that it has to be complete loyalty, which is total shtus. We know that's not true. But among she's the boss. But among the, but at least for sure, whatever the husband says,
all those articles are
by right wing. For sure, whatever the wife does, whatever the husband says. But the more modern, no. The wife is 100% independent. They have a different set of rules. She has her hashkacha, and she does her thing, and I do my thing. Here, Eliphaz is telling Eov, you are responsible for your wife. Don't tell me that your wife does this and you do this. There was once a story with someone, you probably can figure out who it is, and someone asked a certain gadol, how does your wife do this and this? So he said, ask her. I'm not responsible for my wife. She's my wife, and she comes from a very chashuv family, and she knows she's entitled to make her own decisions. I teach one hashkacha. If someone will come ask me what I think, I'll tell you what I think. But I can't impose my hashkaf upon my wife. She can do whatever she wants. So here it says, this idea, Pasuk Chav Gimel Nemitzudos, David, in Toshev. He doesn't mention here wife. He just says very simply, Kasher Toshev Hashem, when you will do tshuva and you will return to Hashem, Tachsar V'tibaneh, B'masha Yisa Neras, you will be rebuilt from your destruction. Tarchik, Ach Tarchik Me'olecha Avla, Shaloi Tiyah Kitoivel V'sheretz B'yada. You have to do tshuva. Rashi, no Rashi. Is there Rashi on Pasuk Chav Gimel? No Rashi. Pasuk Chav Dalet. The Shis Al Ofar. Then, when you will do tshuva, Hashem will set. Shis means to put, like sim. The Shis Al Ofar upon earth. Botzer. Botzer means a fortress. Hashem will put the fortress on a solid foundation as opposed to a fortress in the sky. It seems like there's some type of expression where you can build a fortress but it's a fortress in the sky. It's not on the earth, meaning that it's not secure. Hashem will build for you a solid fortress, uvitzur nicholim, and in a vault. Tzur means a rock, in this context means a vault of nicholim, of the mountains, of some valley. Ophir, Hashem will store gold. Ophir is a type of gold that is not subject to decay or environmental factors. Some types of gold, if they're not stored in a proper environment, it can get ruined. It can become moldy, it can become rusty, I don't
solid.
Know.
Solid, it doesn't evaporate.
Ophir, right, some golds you have to store in Arizona. Like they all store the plains today.
Rainy.
Doesn't matter. Ophir is a type of gold which you can store anywhere you want and nothing will happen to it. It's not subject to environmental restrictions. And here, Hashem, here, Eliphaz is telling you that if you only do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu, number one, will establish for you a solid fortress, and your wealth will be guarded in a vault, which means deep down in the ground where no one can get to it. And not only will it be guarded, it will be the type of wealth called Ophir that you have nothing to worry about. No matter what happens in the economy, your wealth will be sound and secure. Pasuk of Dalad the Mitzudos. Vishis, Ratzalayma, if you only do tshuva ma'ar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMokam Yelucho L'Chayzik, Hashem will be your strength. Ki'ilu Samta L'cha Mivtzar, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set for you a Mivtzar, a fortress, Banui Al Afar Ha'aretz, HaChazaka, that's built upon the earth, Yoyisem Ha'osem Imal Bego Vo'a. Okay, so somehow there's some fortress which is on top, which is maybe means that it's underground bunker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built for you an underground bunker instead of built for you some type of fortress above ground. Above ground, a subject to satellites, drones. But if you build a nuclear facility underground, then who's going to be able to penetrate? Uvitzur, Ratzalaymar, Yiskayem Oy Shercha, your wealth. Ki'ilu samto zav, as if you put zav oifir, and zav means it comes, some say oifir means Peru. Right? Isn't that what so they say? We listen Yeshaya.
Yes.
There's a discussion. What is Ophir? Bitsur Chazak in a strong name place.
It's a type of gold. It's named for a place.
Name for a place, which the highest quality of gold. Bitsur Chazak Asher Ba'amakim in the depths. Asher Yiskayim Mipas Mekaymo Mipas Atzma. So here the gold will be preserved for two different reasons. Number one, it's secure. It's buried underground in a very secure location. Number two, Mipas Atzma, the gold itself is of a quality that's not subject to any problem. It is the strongest, and there's nothing to worry about. Pasik, let's take a look over here at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Vishis al ofar botzer al asher toshuv olav." In reward for doing tshuva, Hashem toshis al oretz choisenu mivsarim. Hashem will put on the earth strength and fortresses. What is Rashi coming to add that we don't know in the pasuk? I'm not exactly sure. Uvitzur nicholim haslaim gevayim shebin acholim amukim. These massive rocks that are found in the valleys, in the deep valleys, yiyeh l'cha osif, will be a place to collect tsiviras oifir. To collect the tsviras means a collection of ophir gold. What is that? He segulas malachim. This type of gold is a treasure of kings. Shahayu misaglim. They would collect it. The oitzrim zohav habam yofer. They would misaglim the oitzrim. I don't really know what the word misaglim means. They would treasure it.
Well, it's like segula.
They treasured it and they would collect it. What would they collect? This exotic gold that came from the location, the country called Ophir. Pasek Chafhei. The Hoya, now this is a hard pasek. Okay, the Hoya.
We haven't had those,
right?
We haven't had
those. The Hoya Shakai Bitzarecha. What does Shakai mean? Shakai means Hashem. I've never heard until today, until I prepared, until this, the word Shakai can mean anything other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Hoya Shakai Sha'omar Le'olamodai. Right? That Shakai is Nutrikin Sha'omar Le'olamodai. It's the word that was used to describe creation. The Hoya Shakai Hashem will be Bitzarecha. Now, how do you translate the word? I'll give you a choice. Either it means your enemy, Either it means an enemy, a tsar, tsar means an enemy, which Rashi seems to say that's the only interpretation, or it means a fortress. Right? Let's assume it means a fortress. That's what the Mitzvah says. So Hoya Shakai, Hashem will be Bitzarecha, will be your fortress. Now I'm not a bucky in grammar, but that's a very forced usage of the word. If you want to say Hashem will be your fortress, for Hoya Shakai Tzarecha. Hoya Shakai Bitzrecha. It's not the correct. I don't know what would be the correct, but it's. So how would you? But it's not. It appears not to be the correct usage. The correct in the kudos. Voya shakai botzrecha. I think it should be botz. Shakai would be botzer, not bitzorecha. Botzrecha. I don't know, but it doesn't appear to be the correct usage of.
Betzer.
Okay.
And therefore, Bitzarecha, I can find.
There shouldn't be a Shva. A Shva is usually a prefix. It's not a.
But
the Beis is part of the Shoresh, you would not have a Shva underneath the Beis.
Yeah, like Derech.
It would be either Chirik, Bitzrecha, it would be with the Komatz, Botzrecha. A shva is always used on with a beis when the beis is a prefix. So that's part of the problem. Okay, so the mitzvah obviously is bitzarecha, and that's why the mitzudos, that's why Rashi is very disturbed, but the mitzudos has no problem, and he learns the word bitzarecha means fortress, and shakai means Hashem. Hashem will be your fortress. The chesef to'ofos and loch. Money will fly to you. Okay, ever saw an advertisement, easy money? So this is the money will actually fly to you. You don't even have to pick up your fingers. Money comes easy. Not only does it come easy, this is a very, very fascinating expression. So let's take a look at the Mitzudos first. Pasuk Chafei, the Mitzudos says, V'hoya Shakai, to flow. Okay. V'hoya Shakai Bitzorecha. So the first thing we have to acknowledge, the Shakai, according to Rashi, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is called Mokoyim. HaMokoyim Yihye Mivitzarecha. Notice that the Mitzudos very conveniently adds in the mem. He notices that we're missing here a prefix, and the beis can't be the prefix because it's part of the Shoresh. So he adds in Mivitzarecha. That's really what the Pasuk should have said with the mem, or some other type of usage. Exactly, that's the answer. The answer is that the rules, that the style of writing is much more complex than we can ever imagine, and that's how it's been used. Money will fly to you. Ratzulaymar Yisrabu B'choleis will continuously increase. Stocks only go up; they never go down. Okay, Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayashakai bitzorecha im shakai ze kodesh." If you want to say like the Mitzudos, that shakai means Hashem. Timohati al pisrono. I have no interpretation. Because the word bitzarecha can only mean one thing, your enemy. An enemy, the shorish of the bitzarecha is tsar, the beis tsar. The beis is not part of the shorish, and therefore it means Hashem will be your enemy. That means Eliphaz is cursing Eov. But well, that's not the context. The context is where he's giving him advice. Do tshuva, and Hashem, the previous passage says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you wealth, He'll restore your health, and everything's going to be good.
Why did Rashi look into the target?
Rashi, he shakai kirach, will be only tuk fok, will be your strength. Obviously, Rashi learns bitzarecha means your strength. Rashi, in the second interpretation, will agree to the top. Let's do one thing at a time. Okay, so im shakai zekodesh temahati al pisronim shemashmo kilolo sheyim ne'im oivav HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be your enemy. Kumo ve'at ha'yisa be'ochroi. Where do we find the beis using in exactly the same exact expression? Be, it means, ochroi means my ugly ones. The ones who declare me to be ugly. It's another word which means my enemy. Im oichrai, those who make me ugly. The al yidei tsarecha nidonenu min hamikru, min ha, the period, fine. So this is Rashi's first interpretation, which seems to see doesn't make any sense. So what are we going to do? We have no choice but to say the alidei tzarich, due to the difficulty, the problem with the pasuk, nidoinenu min hamikros chaserim. We have no choice but to say that we're missing a word in this pasuk. Okay, the Mitzudos does this every pasuk. Rashi's style, if we've noticed, has always tried to read the pasuk without adding words as much as possible. But in this case, he says we have no choice but to say we're going to add words into the pasuk. Kimo v'hoya shakai. There's a missing word in the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge your enemies. When an enemy comes against you to cause you pain or suffering, Hashem will stand up as your judge and protect you. Okay, that's how he learns. Shakai is Kodesh. Bitzarecha means your enemy. And it means that Hashem will protect you from your... will judge you, will be the judge against your enemies. Then he goes on to say, if you want to say that the word Shakai is Chol, which means... Shakai means another word for strength. It's another word for strength. It means strength. Zep hisroinoi v'hoyechosen niv tzarecha. The strength, it will be the strength of your fortress. In this interpretation, betzer kloimar hon etik, in a wealth of old tiyeh nivtzar, will be collected. Okay, so before you read it again inside, what he means over here, I don't know what's going on. What he's doing in the second edition is acknowledging that the word bitzarecha does not mean an enemy. The word bitzarecha means a fortress. However, Rashi says, but if you want to say Bitzarecha means a fortress, you have to say Shakai also means strength, and it is Lashon Chol. I don't know the grammar. Obviously, Rashi seems to be saying that you can't learn like the Mitzudos. If you want to say that the word Shakai means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the first time you introduce into this pasuk the expression of strength is with the word Bitzarecha, then you violated the rules of grammar and it doesn't work. However, if you want to say the word Shakai, Shak also means strength, then these two words go together in the form with the vowels that appear in this pasuk. And then what it means is, V'hoya Shakai Bitzarecha, your fortress will be strong. Shakai means strength. Obviously, there is some use of the word of Shakai. Does not only mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, but it means also strength. Bitzarecha means, in this context, your fortress. And now there's no longer a problem of the Shva underneath the base, because it's connected to the previous word, which also means strength. Your fortress will be strong. Your wealth will be strong, your fortune will be strong, and the money will fly to you. So this is how Rashi seems to explain. We'll read those last words of the Rashi one more time. The zep hisroinu v'hoyechosen miv tzarecha kimo. This pasuk is a repetition of the previous pasuk. V'shis Hashem will put al ofar betzer botzer. Hashem will put upon the earth a fortress. Kolaymar hon esek. Esek means old. Hon means wealth, or esek means powerful. A powerful wealth. Hon esek. So seemingly bitzarecha means wealth. Powerful wealth, tihiyeh nivtzar, will be collected. Ulefihu inyan, kein pisrono. This interpretation appears to be correct because it fits very well into the end of the pasuk, which includes shrei soifai moichichoi. The end of the pasuk proves this interpretation. V'chesef to'afos loch, money will fly to you. Loshen chosen. Rashi wants to know the word so'afos also means, not to mean fly. To'afos means strength. Lashon chosen, kemo v'so'afos re'em lo, the strength of a re'em. A re'em is a type of an axe. The strength of an axe is lo, is to Yosef. So, I'm not exactly sure if the word bitzarecha means collected, or the word bitzarecha means money, or it means a fortress. Rashi seems to be saying a lot of different words which are related to the word beis tzadi resh. But Shakai, clearly according to Rashi, means strength. The strength of your wealth will be firm. Your wealth will be strong. And money will also, the chesef and silver, to'afos, lach, will also be strong. Your wealth will be safe and secure. This is seemingly how Rashi learns the pasuk. Okay, one more pasuk. Pasuk chav vav, ki oz al shakai tisanog, v'sisa el eloka ponecha, then when you do tshuva, then you will take delight in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here everyone learns the word shakai is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing, and you will be able to lift up your face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzudos pasuk chav hei, V'hoya shak pasuk avav in the mitzudos ki oz kishetoshuv laHashem oz tisanag b'toyva al mishenes Hashem, you will take delight in the support. Hashem will be at your support. Ratzloimar hu yaaneg nafshech, Hashem will bring delight to your neshama. The tisa tuchal lisa ponecha el Hashem lishol tzorchecha, you can ask from Hashem anything that you want. Ki tia batuach sheimale sheilosecha, you'll be guaranteed HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant your request. Pasuk Rashi, v'tisa el eloka ponecha, lo savoy lohadu ponecha el lishol tzorchecha himenu. You'll only have to raise up your head to ask your needs. Now what does that mean? When else will you raise up your head? I have no idea what this means in Rashi. Rashi says the only time you'll need to raise up your head is to ask for your needs. So when else do you have to raise up your head? To ask that Hashem should stop punishing you, maybe that's what it means. That if a person has tzoros, a person will ask, raise up his head, Hashem, please stop. Stop bringing upon me suffering. Now you'll be blessed where you'll never have to raise your head to ask Hashem to stop suffering, but instead you'll ask Hashem for bonuses, for blessing, for bracha. That will be what will come to you. Okay, then he goes on to pass the end of the parak, goes on to describe different expressions of the koyach atzil of a tzaddik. Some of these psukim at the end of the parak, we'll see tomorrow, represents this as very an idea. The idea why people are running all over the world to go to tzaddikim to get a bracha. It all comes from the next psukim in this parak.